Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. We are here on Say Your Peace Radio Network. Excuse me, you guys. And we're going to, first of all, I want to kind of catch you guys up on a lot of stuff that we've been doing. Not only am I on this radio show, I'm also on a local radio show where we've been doing a lot, dealing with dibble and dabbling in politics a lot. So this is my entertainment side. This is the soft side of me, opposed to all the other stuff that I'm getting involved in. I just came back from Baton Rouge. First of all, let me say who I am before I get started. Salida McCall. I'm the host of Say Your Peace Radio Network, and we are here tonight to continue our series on Women in Motion, and we're going to be talking to Miss Me. I'm trying to make sure I don't say her name wrong. I'm thinking it's Maisha. And when I'm going to get her on the line. Once I get her on the line, then I can make sure I'm pronouncing her name right. She's an author and playwright out of Washington, D.C. I was looking at her books, and they're very interesting. We're going to get back to that. Before we get back to that, I want to go ahead and kind of talk a little bit about the ideal of what we've been doing on the other side of the table. I've been very much involved in a lot of stuff that's been going on, social issues, political issues. So I've been working on a lot of different projects doing that. We're doing forums on our local radio show where we're getting the candidates to come in. As you know, this is midterm elections, and we're getting a lot of the candidates to come in and talk about what's going on. And giving them an opportunity to have another way of talking to the public. We're opening up the line so that they can, you know, we are allowing the listeners to call in and ask questions to the to the candidates. The last one we had, which was Monday, it was very hot and heavy, and people loved it. So we have one more to do, and we're going to do that one tomorrow night. We are on 88.1 KYT FM, and it starts at 6 o'clock, and we're getting that very last one out the way. And we've learned a lot of information. We've got a lot of information that we didn't know. Last night I had an opportunity to go to Baton Rouge, and if anybody's familiar with it, Investigative Discovery, the Sundown Town, the executive producer, Keith Beauchamp, was a very phenomenal speaker last night in Baton Rouge at the Baton Rouge Community College. So I try to stay as busy, and I try to get where the information is. If you can't go to the information, at least try to use your internet and your computer to get that information, or go to your local library and get the information. That's what I try to spend my time doing. Okay. What I'm getting ready to do now is I'm going to open up the line so that I can get Miss Lady in. Excuse me. Get her on the line so that we can get started, okay? Okay. Let's see here.
Hello,
Miss. I'm going to make sure I'm saying your name right. Maisha?
Michelle.
Okay. Michelle. Yes. Okay. Okay. How are you tonight, ma'am?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. I wanted to make sure. I'm kind of bad with names sometimes, and I was like, oh my God, I hope I say her name.
It's okay.
Her name correct.
Okay, I want to welcome you to the show. As you know, my name is William McCall, and this is my Blog Talk Radio show. It's called Saying Peace Radio Network. And we're this month and next month, we're working in a series called Women in Motion, where I open up the platform and allow black women, because, you know, I'm saying I'm pro-black, black women, entrepreneur and business women, to come on the show and talk about what they're doing, talk about their businesses, talk about how they're, you know, dealing with the home life and business, and how they're affecting the community in everything that they do, making sure that they do have time for, you know, to interact with the people who actually are your fans, the people who want to, you know, see what you're really doing. So
Okay. Let's
get started. What I want you to do, since I already know a little bit about you, I want you to tell our listening audience who you are, where you're from, and what you do.
Okay. Sounds good. I am Merced.
I'm sorry.
I'm Merced. I'm from the metropolitan of D.C. And I'm a writer, and I also produce stage plays. And that's pretty much what I do right now. I'm trying to branch into movies slowly.
Uh-huh.
And And I love to do volunteer work. So those are the things that I'm really involved in.
Mm-hmm. What type of volunteer work do you do?
I love to volunteer at the shelter. So it depends. It depends on what they need. Sometimes they need administrative things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they need you to help make sandwiches or organize the food bank, or I love serving for the holidays as well.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. excuse me. I'm not going to get really into your personal life, but are you married and do you have kids?
I am not married and I do not have kids.
Oh, let me see. I have a son in that same position. Let me stop. I'm sorry.
I know that's right.
We
got to
start somewhere.
Exactly.
And he's familiar with the Washington, D.C. area, too. Okay. I'm going to see you get off this.
I know that's right. I ain't even mad at
you. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Look, that was a segue into me asking you about your personal life, huh?
Oh, that's okay.
Okay, I was fascinated by your book, which I didn't get a copy, which is not your fault, because if I would have contacted you earlier in a definite amount of time, I would have been able to get a copy of the book.
You definitely would have sent you a copy. Which one are you talking about?
I'm looking at all of them. I'm
okay.
I'm looking at the little narrative of them, and I'm like, oh, man, did I miss? I wish I would have did you on my other shows. They would have loved you on my other shows. Even, I mean, not to say that they don't love you on this one. I'm just saying, if I would have known you back then when I had my other radio show, this would have been, oh, you would have been, wow. They would have been
all
with you.
I know that.
Okay. Let me leave you alone. I'm sorry. I keep harassing you. It just seems so
no,
easy.
No, you're not harassing me. It's all good.
Now, you have never left Washington, D.C.?
Oh, of course. I've lived up and down the East Coast. I've lived in North Carolina, Atlanta, Virginia, Maryland, New York.
Oh, my
wherever.
God.
Oh, I've lived in all of them.
You're a nomad, huh?
Yeah, I am a nomad. It's taken a lot for me to kind of just try to settle down.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, you really don't have a reason to right now. You really don't, because, I mean, look at all you're doing. I think it's awesome what you're doing, being single and being able to do all this, you know. You don't have to answer to nobody, you know. Come on. You know, that's awesome.
That's the best part.
Exactly. I was looking
keep it
at
moving.
Your play. Yeah, keep it moving, keep it moving. I was looking at scenes from your play. Now, let's talk about that, because that, it's so weird that you're doing all the stuff. If I would just slow my tail down, I could be doing the same thing, but I got my hands in so much. I am an author, if I want to claim that. I have written plays. I've played in plays. I was part of the Kansas City Players back in the day. So it's like I'm looking at all the stuff you're doing. I'm like, oh, my gosh, she's living my life. It's a single life. I'm married. You know, I got grown sons. So I was like, oh, she's living my life. What I should have done. I should have never got married.
You can still do it.
I know. I'm just picking. But I was looking at your play. Tell me a little about the play that you have on your website.
It's He Loved Me, He Loves You Not, that we did in D.C. at the Arc Theater. We've actually done that the most. I think that play has been put on 3 or 4 times. People love that one. So, yes, we just kept producing it. But we're going to move on. But it was based off of the He Loves Me, He Loves You Not novel, the first one. And it was exciting to see it on stage. You know, there's some crazy stuff that goes down in my novel. So to see it come to life on stage is pretty exciting. And my amazing actors, they really go above and beyond bringing these characters to life. It's amazing to me.
Okay, so I have questions. I'm going to say you're a playwright. I'm going to say I'm a so-called playwright. So tell me this. How do you get the actors and actresses? Where do you get them from? I mean, does it cost money and all that? Because I have two of mine I really, really, really want to do. But I want to know, what do I need to do to get that going? You understand what I'm saying?
Well, my actors, I get actors from almost, I post casting calls all over. So word of mouth. We definitely post at universities. We post online. I do Facebook. I do Twitter. I do Instagram. I do Craigslist. I do Mandy.com. I do ModelMayhem.com. I go to the casting website. Sometimes I find them from there. Sometimes, but a lot of times now, most recently, they're finding me, so that helps. So that, you know, I guess word of mouth is helping. So now actors are actually coming to me. When is your next production? I want to audition, you know, things like that. So it's getting a little easier to find them.
Awesome.
But I have some veterans. Most of my actors are actually veterans. They've been with me since the first play that I produced 3 years ago. And I actually try to keep them because it creates like a family environment. They're used to working with each other. The chemistry is really good. Yeah, so if I don't have to replace anybody, I try not to.
I see. I'm just looking at the scenes from it. I'm like, man, that is so awesome. I love that. I mean, I'm
thanks.
That would be something I do. I would love to do this. Maybe.
You can do it.
How about you coming to Louisiana? I'm in Louisiana. You think you can handle our weather?
Yeah, we can come over there.
Okay.
I'll bring my daughter.
But yeah, I think that is so awesome what you're doing. I really, really do. Now, let's talk about your book. Let's talk about I was reading some of the narratives. I want you to actually, if you don't mind, if you can remember, because I don't remember everything in my book all the time. I want you to, let's see, the first book, the book you have up now is He Loves Me, He Loves Me Not 3. Is that it?
That's the one that just came out, yes.
Yeah, talk about that one a little bit.
Okay. And I'm just like you. I don't remember all of the little details, you know, from all of my books.
Yeah.
You know, after you write it, you kind of move on. I hate to say that, but you do. You move on to the next writing. But He Loves Me 3 is definitely a continuation of the first two. However, I did change things in He Loves Me 3 because in this book, I try to focus more on the younger generation. So the main characters in 1 and 2 had kids, and now their kid, you know, it's been years since the first book. Mm-hmm. So the kids are grown now, so I'm trying to focus more on that generation and what they're going through, because I'm going to branch off. So He Loves Me 3 focuses more on the crazy character Felicia and her daughter. And her daughter actually becomes the main character. And then you'll see how she lives her life from there. And then from there, we're going to branch off into a whole new series. So.
Oh, man. Awesome. Awesome.
Kind of crazy.
And I'm looking, and I'm looking at my boyfriend's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that one.
That's the okay. So that's the one I'm about to put on stage in March. We are
in March
14th and 15th, I believe, are the dates. We're going to produce that one in DC. I'm excited. So I'm actually excited to see how this one's going to look on stage. Me and the director are still figuring out the kinks, but we're going to put it on. But my boyfriend's wife is very interesting. It's not what people think. It is what people think it is, but it's not, because I always twist my storyline. So it's a lot going on. The main character has about 3 or 4 women. You know, he's doing his thing, and everything just comes to a head. It's really crazy, but, you know, some people are actually living his life, and I feel really bad about that, but, you know, it's drama.
Exactly. That's how it is. I think about it with, I had a book called Mighty Ministers, Inc., and it's about a group of ministers. So I feel you when you say what you just said. I feel you real good, because I know whenever I get ready to put that on the stage plate, they're not going to like me.
Right. I mean, you know, it is.
Hey, you got to tell the truth about what you see and what you know, right?
It is what it is.
That's right. That's how you say it. It is what it is. Now, you've been putting on plays, you said, for 3 years now, right? How long have you been writing?
I published my first book in 2010, so 4 years now.
It's been 4 years.
But I've been published.
Okay, okay. Prior to writing, what else did you do prior to that?
I think I was in my nomad phase.
Okay.
Running all across the country trying to figure it out. I always wanted to write, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've always wanted to write since I was little. I knew I wanted to contribute to the literary world, because I love to read. Like, I was one of those kids. I would excel at that whole summer reading thing. Like, I would read 100 books a summer or something crazy. Mm-hmm. So I would win all those little reading things. So I was like, I definitely want to contribute to that world, because I love it. I think life gets to be a little too serious, so you need like a getaway sometimes, like a fantasy world, and I always believed in that, and I definitely wanted to create a place where people could go to relax and live somebody else's life for a little bit.
Yeah, every now and then, huh? You sound just like
exactly.
My mom, she said you couldn't go to the library. That was the main punishment she could give me. I was done. I love reading.
Oh, my God, my parents were so good.
So right now, okay, now I know you said you have the play coming up in March. What are you doing right now?
Right now, I'm working on an ebook series. I'm launching a brand new publishing company. Me and my partner are launching a brand new publishing company that's going to launch in February, I believe. And the ebook series, I'm actually going to drop before the end of the year. And then I'm going to actually finish off my coveted series, which is the first book I wrote. I'm going to finish off that series next year with the launch of the new publishing company. So, and the play, of course, is going on. This is a lot at one time.
So you're busy? Oh, my God, we're so much alike. Yeah, I'm using every little thing, and you got to get this right. I know how that is. I think creative people are just like that. I really think that's just our nature being. When you're creative like that, it's hard for us to stick to one thing. We feel like if we stick to one thing and we get it complete, it's not going to be anything else out there for us to do. So in that case, we just need to do it all together.
Exactly. I think creative minds, I don't know if we get bored or we can't focus, but we need more than one thing happening at the same time.
Exactly. They call that adult ADHD. You know that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But we focus better with a lot going on.
Opposed to one thing, that is so true. Opposed to just one thing, I get bored. I get bored quick.
Exactly. That's not going to work. Multiple projects.
Yeah. Now, I got another question to ask you about your play.
Okay.
When you're getting ready to do a play, who does all your setting up, getting the plays, getting the stuff that you need, your props and all that? Who does that for you? Who actually, you know, take that load off of you?
I'm a control freak, so no one.
Oh,
I'm working on that, though. I'm working on it.
Okay.
Of course, the bigger we get, I'm not going to be able to do it as much. But right now, I really do. Me and the director actually work really close together. Between the two of us, we work out the vision. But I usually get all the props that I want. I know exactly what I want to see happen. Mm-hmm. I might tweak some things, but for the most part, I'm the one that does it because it has to be exactly how I want it. I'm working on that, but yeah.
That
control, you know, thing.
Sometimes you have to do what you got to do. You just have to. And sometimes it's good because you know what you want to see. You know what the audience, you want the audience to visualize. So, yeah, it's nothing wrong with having that. And you have to have somebody that has that same mindset. If you don't, it is going to be hard for them to see what you, to see your vision, because it's not about the other person. It's really about you, what you see. So,
exactly.
Yeah, that's very important. Another question I was thinking that just went through my mind is, what about doing web series? You ever thought about that?
A love series?
Web series.
Okay. Web series,
Yeah. So would you ever think about doing that with your play?
My actors had actually asked me about that, and I had thought about it, because I would have to write. Web series to me is more like writing different episodes for, like, a weekly type thing or something like that. I had thought about it. I hadn't really sat down and worked out a strategy for it yet or implemented it into my day yet, but I had definitely been thinking about it.
Because that would be another way to expose your work. That's what I was thinking about in that sense.
You're very true. And like I said, the actors they've been asked and they want it. And I'm just like, I know, but I would have to sit down and really write it out. And I just haven't worked it into my schedule yet with the rest of the stuff I'm doing at the moment. But I've been thinking about it. We'll see.
And you said, if it's not in my control right now, I'm not doing it. So y'all just sit back and relax, right? That's basically
the whole time. No, I just told him, wait me out a little bit. I'm still, it's a lot going on. So I'm trying to, I've added so many new things. I'm working on my time management. So once I get more comfortable in all the stuff that I'm doing, I could probably start dedicating time to these episodes. So we'll see. They've asked. I said, like, hold on.
Now, I was looking at your virtual street team. Tell me about them.
My virtual, what is it?
It says you have a virtual street team.
Oh, my online. Oh, yeah, my street team. Absolutely. You have to have them. They are the ones. They sign up, they volunteer, they're fans actually who support me. And so whenever I have anything dropping, you know, you'll see them, they'll help promote either in person or online. Like the street team, especially when I have plays, they're really good about, they're out in the street, they're handing out flyers, they're like, hey, come to this play, they're selling tickets, they're all over the place. And online, I have books drop or a play coming out, you know, that online presence, you know, is very important. So I have a whole team of, and they're just fans who believe enough in what I do to want to be a part of the team and help out. So definitely rewarded for their efforts. You know, they get all type of mache stuff. So, we love them to death.
I got another question for you, too. I was thinking earlier about you give back by volunteering with the different shelters and stuff. I think that's such an awesome and part of the way that you're being blessed and everything else you're doing. I mean, I think that's so awesome. But I think you said something about a movie. You said you would like to write a movie, or you would like to turn one of your books into a movie, or just something
absolutely
separate.
I actually want to see my first book coveted. I would love to see that one as a movie. And we're working on it. Slowly, but we're working on it. I wanted it to go to the right people, be produced by the right people, and to be a blockbuster hit. So we'll see what happens. We're praying on that one.
Okay. Okay, so why won't you do it yourself?
It's not that I can't, but I would really prefer someone who knows what they're doing, you know, who this is their niche. It's not my niche. I would need to learn it. And I want to learn it, but I really want someone who's done it for years to come in and take my vision and take it to the next level. I don't have a problem with that. I really want, you know, and collaborate with a team. Just because sometimes it helps to have a creative team around you. They can see stuff that you can't see. They can take your idea and maximize it to the 10th power and, you know, create all type of stuff. So I definitely want to see what can happen. And not just be stuck in my own head.
yeah. You want to actually, I can see what you're saying. You'll get that help. And there, you don't have to worry about doing everything yourself. All you need to do is present this to them and go from there. That's understandable. That's really understandable. I like that. Now, in the meantime, is this what you do full-time, or do you have another job?
I work part-time. I just actually decided to break away. I was working full-time. And with all these new ventures I have going on, I realized that, you know, at this point, I need to really focus on my companies. I have a couple of them, and I can do it. So since I can do it, I decided, you know, let me just go ahead and do it, branch away from corporate America, and let's just jump out there and do it. I mean, you can always go back to it, you know. It's not going away. So I'd rather branch out, do my own thing. Yeah, just make or break time.
Yeah, and you know what? You're so true. You either do it now or you can wait and it never be done at all. And so I think that's awesome. And I like the idea that I noticed that a lot of our African-Americans are starting to get into wanting to do the plays, even though it's been done all this time, but it's more, you can see it more than it used to be.
Right.
You have authors all over the place. I've interviewed authors. You only knew how many authors I have actually interviewed. You were like, what? But with authors, they don't usually go to the playwriting part. They usually just want to say, you know, I'm just going to write books and that's it, and not taking advantage of the idea that you can, you know, take this to a whole nother level. And I love plays. I was not born on the stage, but my mom used to force us to do the holiday crap all the time for school. So I was like, out of all of our kids, I was the only one that stuck with it all through the years. You know, I did drama, I did dancing, and I did all that. So I stayed with all that, and I have done a couple of plays. It's been a while back because I'm probably older than you. But I've done a couple of plays as far as writing and producing with some kids. I did it with some kids. And but I've always wanted to see my work with adults on stage. I wanted to have my own theater. That's really what I wanted.
Oh, I agree with that. I think you should. I'm trying to do that too. My whole production, like, company, studio, everything.
It has everything in one spot, one-stop shop.
Exactly.
Yes, I think that would be awesome. And it's not hard for us to do. It's just getting the right, like you said, the right people and having that right connection to be able to help you do that. So, let me see. Look, I have a list of stuff I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
What's your name? Your middle name? I'm just kidding. Do you have a dog? No.
I don't have a middle name.
It's true. You don't have a middle name? What?
No, my mommy didn't give me one.
So do you have any other brothers and sisters?
Huh?
Do you have any other brothers and sisters?
I do. I have a sister and two brothers.
Okay, okay. So you're the only one who's really interested in this?
Yes. I seem to be like I always said I was adopted. I know I'm not, but just in case my mom is, you know, hears this. But I'm just different. I was always different. Growing up, I didn't really fit in with the rest of them.
Oh, my God. You sound like me. Oh, my God.
I'm exactly. That's me. I am. I do fall in the middle. So the girls fall in the middle. The boy, you know, older brother, younger brother, and then the girls are in the middle.
You are in the middle. Oh, my God. We middle children have issues. You know that, right? No, just kidding.
Yeah. I agree.
But we do, but you sound just like me. You sound exactly like me. Now, your personality probably is not like mine, but you sound just like me as far as everything else, the creativity, the middle child, the oddball out. You know, I had sisters. It was five of us, and I sit in the middle. And if I didn't talk to my sisters all the time, it didn't bother me. As long as you give me a book, I don't care if y'all, I mean, you could be around me all day long. I wouldn't even pay attention to you. And I think I was always that one that always, you know, when everybody's outside playing, I'm inside with right. cuddled up in the bed reading a book. That was more important.
I was
playing
that too.
Yep. So we wind up being writers and crazy people. Okay, that's what it ends up to be. Huh?
It's something about that fantasy world that draws you in. I don't know. I don't know if we're running away from reality. I don't know what's going on, but yeah.
Yeah, most of the time, go ahead and say it. So we're running away from reality because sometimes our reality ain't what we want it to be.
Exactly. You're right. I agree. And you just, it's our own little world that we create and we just go with it.
Exactly. We got to run with it. So you have a project coming up in March, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Your book is out now, right?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, my God. My mind just went blank, baby. I am so sorry. My mind just went
blank.
It's
okay.
Look, I got in this morning about 1:30 in the morning. I went to Baton Rouge. I don't know if you heard of Keith Beauchamp. He does the investigative stories, the Sundown Town about, you know, racism and stuff. Well, he had a forum in Baton Rouge, and we live like an hour and a half away. So I drove there, and I went to go there. So I'm kind of like trying to get myself still centered.
I understand.
Like, oh, maybe to see all these people and stuff that I've never, you know, it was just exciting to me. So I'm trying to come down off of it. I'm very slow because I'm older now. Any other time I would have been already ready. I'm kind of old now.
No, you're fine.
So, okay. So we talked about your books. We talked about your play. We talked about the idea that you're very much into the community. Now, do you ever take young kids and kind of show them the ropes about theater, or do you know any kids that would be interested in doing that?
I don't work with kids as much. Not in that capacity. I do mentor teenage girls, but I don't really, but that's totally different. Like, I don't, you know, bring them into my world. I kind of join their world, you know, and work with them with what's going on in their life. If they're interested in my world, cool, but, you know, they're not always in, you know, teenagers are a little different. So they're not always interested in what I'm doing. They got their own agenda, so
yeah.
I definitely love that, but yeah, I don't really deal with children too much and bringing them into what I do.
Mm-hmm. What about high school? Do you ever do like the drama classes, the thespian club? Do you ever do any of those? Do you get them in on spring?
I do not, and that's only because, I mean, if they were to invite me out, that'd be fine. But my work, I think, it's geared more to the mature adult, so I don't really focus on the teen, you know, or the kids as much because it's a little racy for them, my material.
What? So you saying you have rated R stuff? Are you telling me you have rated R stuff?
I think it's rated R because of the content more so than, like, it's not so much sexual content. I'm not really erotica, but the rest of my content is very mature, you know. I do a lot of the murders and the language, you know.
Okay.
I've changed it a little. With this last book, I'm slowly transitioning, but I know my first couple of books are really racy. This one, we toned it down with the third one.
Okay. So are you saying racy or raunchy? Which one or both?
It depends on how you look at it. I think it's a lot, the drama is probably raunchy, which is probably fine for, not kids, but like I say 17 or older. But racy because it's very fast paced. The beginning books, the language, the murder, like I have that type of stuff going on. So it depends on the parent. I always try to advise parents when they choose to let their teenagers read my book. I like, you know, this is what's going on in the book. If you still want them to read it, that's fine, because I know when I was that age, my mama was serious. I couldn't read certain stuff. So,
well, see, my
I tried
mom never
to warn.
I read a lot of stuff. I learned a lot out of
the book. That's good. My mama was on it. She wasn't having it. She was like, oh, no.
Wait a minute. Let me see that book. What is that you're reading? Do you remember the novel? The romance novel? It'd be like 1,000 pages?
Yeah, mommy was like, no.
Like, you can't read that. See, my mom didn't pay attention to what I read, so I read a lot of stuff I probably should have never
read.
But
yeah, my mom
I learned
on
a lot.
She was on it, okay? She was like, oh, no, ma'am.
She already knew what it was, probably. That's why she was, oh, wait, hold up.
Probably.
I read that already. You can't read that.
Right. She's like, oh, no, ma'am, you can't read that one. But, you know, she started me on books, and I was reading very early. And she always had me read. Like, she likes to read. She's an avid reader. So I think, of course, that was passed on to me, and I always had a million books. I still have a million books. So, yeah.
Being able to interview a lot of people, I've got a big collection of books authors send me, and I love reading them. They're fascinating, but then after I read them, what we used to do is we used to give them away on my show. I used to, whenever I got a book and we read it and we've done everything, we would give away the books to whoever would call in. So that was another way of getting rid of them, but I didn't get a chance to get rid of all of them. So I still have a large collection of books.
Really? I cannot give away my. I'm so crazy because I might come back and read it. I'm like, no, I ain't read it.
You know what we call people like you.
Hoarders, probably. But books, I am a book and I am a movie fanatic. Those two things, like, I love, and I'm really serious about the whole loaning thing. I'm like, yeah, no.
No, you can't have that.
Yeah, no. If you have it, it's like checking it out from the library. Like, you really got to write it down and sign a paper and all that stuff and bring
my
stuff back. And it's in alphabetical order, so I know if it's missing or not. Like, where's my stuff? Like, yeah, I'm too psycho with those. I really don't let them out too often.
Oh, my God. You're a control freak, and you're a hoarder. Oh, my God. Those are not
only for those. Only for movies and books. Everything else can go.
Okay, everything else is free. Free for all, but everything else.
Right. Just movies and books, though. Yeah, I have a hard time with those, but everything else, you know, you can take.
I can compromise with you on some other things, but not the books and the movies.
Yeah, no. But you can take the whole, everything else you can have.
We're going to have to work on them qualities that you have, those good traits you have. And I don't want to say they're bad traits because actually sometimes you have to stay in control because some people are not. And when you're around an uncontrollable a bunch of people, you do have to keep your head sane. So being a control freak has its positives and it has its negatives.
Exactly.
Last night I watched this lady. She was over the whole program putting it together. And I kept telling the lady I was with, I said, I do not like the way she's talking to people. It bothered me because I didn't think she needed to holler at them. You know, she was literally, and I say sometimes with us black folks, we don't know how to, you know, when you're in authority, you don't have to do all that. You can talk to somebody in a very nice way. you know, to get the point across, but she was so demanding. It was irritating.
Yeah, I don't like that. Yeah, I'm not really fond of that type of managing style. Like, I'm more, I am a control freak. I do like stuff to go a certain way. But I kind of let you do it your way. Like, I'm not so much of a control freak where I'm like, you have to do it my way. I don't really care as long as it gets done, you know? Whatever.
Yeah,
I'm not
yeah.
a micromanager, and I know I don't function well. I never function well if people don't know how to talk to me. I never did well in that environment, which is why corporate America didn't work for me. Because I'm like, I can't handle it. So I always said when I had my company and I was managing people, I would never talk to them in a certain manner, because I think you get further just being, you know, normal, treating them normal.
But you know what? You're right about that. But I don't know what is it that when we get in a position of authority, our whole persona changes. Why is that? I don't understand that. Why do you not?
I don't know. That's just some people, and I think that's who they are. They can't handle the power that they're giving.
Exactly.
I've seen it happen a lot. Like when I used to work in corporate America, I saw it a lot, and it let me know I would never do this. I could never do it because I'm like, yeah, that
exactly.
whole talking to me crazy thing. Yeah, I'm not really with that. So it doesn't work for me. So, but I always feel like I don't treat my people like that because they're adults. They're not kids, you know.
Yeah.
Either you're going to do it or you're not. I do have one standard for my company. You have to get it done. And if you don't get it done, by all means, I do have to let you go. But outside of that, as long as you show up, do your job, we're good. I'm not micromanaging adults. I'm not talking to them.
Yeah.
I'm not yelling at an adult. I don't have to yell. You don't have to be here. It's like, you know, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. It's a waste of time. It's a lot of waste of time. And, you know, when I brought you on, I'm assuming that you know what you're doing. I know the word assume, what that means. But I'm thinking that you are going to come in and do the job, so I don't have to. You know, you might forget because that happens from time to time. But I don't think I need to be on you all the time to tell you this is what I need you to do. You come in, you do what you got to do, and make sure you do it correctly. I mean, basically, you need to make sure it's done correctly so we won't have to talk about it anymore. You know, other than say, hey, you did a great job. Yeah, I think people don't understand how important it is to be able to. And I say this because I know what you're doing with doing these plays, directing them and producing them and putting them, I know it has to take a lot out of you when you're trying to do that and you're trying to stay patient on top of everything else. So you do have to probably, from time to time, you have to step back. Do you step back and take a deep breath and say, okay, now I'm going to deal with this? You ever use that? You
laughing,
you
I try to stay calm. Like I say, I don't really.
I think you be cussing them out, don't you?
No, I don't really get involved. Like, well, my director, I try not to step on his toes. I let him. I have a director, so I let him. It's a chain of command that we have established. It took some time, but I slowly got him to be a little bit more assertive. And by the time it gets to me, it's a problem, you know, and I deal with it accordingly. I don't curse anyone out. I don't feel like I should have to. And once again, it just comes down to if you really want to be here, you're here to do a job. So either you're doing it or you're not. I don't understand what the problem is. You know, if you're here to do what your job is, what's the problem? So don't get me wrong. If you do research on me, I have been known to get rid of people, absolutely. But I only get rid of people if I feel like they're too much of a problem or they're not doing their job. If you're disrupting everyone, like a cast, it takes all the individuals to work as a whole to get something done. So if one person isn't doing what they need to do, it knocks off the entire group. We can't have that.
Exactly.
And we're on a time crunch always with plays. You know, we can't have someone dropping the ball all the time. So at that rate, you're no good to me like that. So I have to let you go.
Exactly.
You know, it means it's reality. It is what it is, but I'm never mean about it. I'm just like, you know, my policy up front. We talk about it. I'm very cool. You know, I've had a couple of them spaz out. I don't spaz out with them. They will never be able to say, Mache was mean to me. Mache cursed me out. None of them can say that because I don't operate like my company like that. We're always very professional, very nice, and
if you choose to act up, I very nicely ask you to leave and no longer be a part of my production. I mean, it's real simple to me. I don't have to argue with anybody.
No, you don't.
It's my company. Right. I don't need it.
That's right. Now, getting people to sponsor you, is that a very hard part to do, is to get the sponsors to, you know, back you with your play?
Absolutely.
Or do everything come out of your pocket?
It's absolutely hard. We are actually still looking for sponsors. I actually foot the play myself every time. So
okay.
Until we're big enough or the sponsors come. It's definitely it's a little rough. We're getting more known here, though. Things are starting to get a little easier for the production company.
Okay.
But it takes years. You know, it takes time. You really have to pay your dues, I think. But because we're more known now, more people are coming to me wanting to be a part or wanting to sponsor or, you know, so it's getting a little easier.
So on average, how much have you had to, I don't want to sound like I'm getting deep into your pockets. I just want to figure out how much on average does it cost you to do a play, a whole production?
Production for a play is usually between, it's on a low scale, I guess, between $8,000 and $10,000 right now.
Okay, that's not bad.
It isn't too bad. I try to keep the cost down. I am definitely a penny pitcher. and try to complete it. I mean, we have a budget, and I try to stay within the budget, you know, so.
Uh-huh.
Definitely when it comes to props, you know,
with
all these different markets and thrift stores, you know, you can find props anywhere. You shouldn't be spending a whole bunch of money on props and stuff like that. So that's a way to keep the cost down. You just got to think of different things that work for you. But, yeah, generally keeping the cost down, usually between $8,000 and $10,000 a show.
Okay. Per show. Okay. And then when you sell your tickets, you want to try to make that up in a sense, huh?
Oh, absolutely. You don't want to take a loss. I continue to, you should at least break even. If you're breaking even, keep doing it. If you're not breaking even, go back and revamp what you're doing. You need to at least break even.
Okay.
So that way you don't lose money. It's okay not to make money, but don't lose money.
Mm-hmm.
Because with each show, you're getting, you know, you're getting more known, you're getting more people coming in. So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
So you're still making an impact. Just don't lose money. If you lose the money, go back and revamp your whole thing. Work on marketing and promotion a lot.
Okay, now let me ask you something since you said that, segue into that. Do you put your plays on DVD?
We have tried unsuccessfully a couple times, but we're doing it again. It's a lot, you know. So, this time, though, we have a really good videographer coming in. So, yes, we are going to put it on DVD. We are going to sell it because I have fans all over the country and internationally that really want to see it. And, you know, they're not in D.C. So we definitely want them to have the opportunity to see, you know, the plays. So definitely going to DVD next year.
And, see, that would be an awesome other way of getting those funding, getting that money.
Exactly.
Yeah,
LA is funding itself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, Tyler Perry did it. You think about how Tyler Perry did it.
Yep, that's how you do it. I mean, that's the best way I can see.
I think it's an awesome idea. That's why when you said the webinars, that's another way that you can pay for it, through your webinars, through your DVD. I mean, just take one of your books and do a series. Like you said, you can have to write it every week. You could. You know, you don't have to have it. Like, people can look forward to seeing it in another 2 weeks if you can't get to it that week. So you can kind of break it down. And the reason why I mention that is because I have my cousin who lives in New York. She lives in Albany. Her and her husband does exactly that. They do web series. Excuse me. They write books. First she started writing. Then she turned it into web series. And now she's actually doing a full feature movie right now. So she's like, I wish you was here with me. I said, shoot, I wish I was there, because I wouldn't even come back here. I would stay in Albany.
I know,
I would find a place to stay, and I would love to work with her on those, because I want to do that. I want to do a full feature movie one day. I think it's awesome. And you already said you would do it. And you're in Washington, D.C., of all places. You've got all the resources right there in Washington. Is it hard to get a hold of the resources?
No, it's not. Okay. We're going to make it happen, definitely.
I didn't think it would be that hard. I think that would be so awesome. And to see your stuff on screen, man, I mean, that's like it's orgasmic.
Exactly.
You see it on stage, and it does the same thing, because I know seeing your work on stage is awesome, too. I can imagine
it's
each time
really
you
cool.
do a play. Now, how many plays have you already
it's
done?
It's very surreal, actually, when it's going on. It, what's amazing is to see the people. To me, it's always the viewers and the fans.
Mm-hmm.
To see them come
mm-hmm.
for something that started, you know, when I started writing books, I had a vision of what I hope would happen, but you never really know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
And, you know, my very first play I did was Coveted, and we sold mm-hmm. out. I sold out my very first show.
Oh,
and it was just crazy
God.
To see, like, all the cars and all the people supporting something that just started in my head. You know, it was just, it's amazing. There's nothing that describes it. It's just amazing to see people come out for something that you created. It's
mm-hmm.
just crazy.
It's like somebody watching you have a baby and you're so happy the baby's here.
Yeah, it's just, it's very surreal. It's almost feels like it's not real. It's like, I created this. Like, sometimes you really have to sit down and, because I never used to do that, but one of my, author friends was like, sometimes you just need to slow down and just look at what you've done. And I'm like, you know what? I never do that. Like, I never just stop and be like, wow, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So.
Did I really make that impact on everything? Man, that is awesome. Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
But you know, people who do it all the time, I guess they might not have that same, you know what I'm saying, that same humbleness that
mm-hmm.
you get when you're like, you don't want to say, you want to be excited, but you don't want people to say, oh, yeah, look what I did. Look what I did. You want to,
right.
you want to like, okay, yeah, man, I really did this. And I sold
it. It is pretty cool.
I bet you it is. I bet you it is a how they say that. I say orgasmic. I don't know what else. You said surreal.
That works.
Like, oh, my God, it's just like that. Oh, my God. You know, one of those numbers. I can do that on this show because it's my show.
Exactly. And there you go.
But, yeah, I think that's awesome. Your first show you sold out. What's the other plays you've done so far?
I've done Coveted and I've done He Loves Me, He Loves You Not. I just produced them a couple times. So,
okay.
And then we're doing
okay.
My Boyfriend's Wife. So.
Okay. Now, what was Coveted about?
Ooh, Coveted, my very first novel. It is a train wreck, okay?
Okay.
It's like five main characters, and it's based on this one the lead character who everyone kind of wants to be. It's dramatic. Her best friend wants to be her, tries to take her husband. She realizes she has a half-sister later on in life. Her half-sister mm-hmm. wants to be her because she doesn't understand why her life is so easy. So it's mm-hmm. like they're all trying to take her life from her. So while they're doing that, they're actually sucking the life out of her. It's really dramatic. And that's the one that I'm actually going to finish the trilogy for in January.
Okay.
Okay.
And then you're going to put it on, that's the one you're going to put on in March?
No, My Boyfriend's Wife is for March.
Okay, yes, uh-huh. You did say that. I'm sorry, you did say that.
Okay.
Boy, you got my head going. I like that. That's awesome to see that you're doing all this, and you got a good team behind you. So when did you sell out on your other play, the one you just did?
We didn't sell out. We were close because this is the first
mm-hmm.
time we did back-to-back shows because I wanted to. I'm always about pushing the limit. So this time we did a couple shows in a weekend versus just one. We actually doubled up on a day, I think, or something like that.
Okay.
So they were close, both of them. So, but it's the first
yeah.
time we split it up and was like, hey, let's do more than one show in a weekend. Let's go. So
mm-hmm.
I tested the water to see what happened. We're going to keep doing it, though. I'm going to sell out next time.
No, I think that's awesome. I think that's real awesome that you're doing it. No matter what, if it works for you, I mean, it doesn't, like you said, even though you don't bring home the bank, at least you're doing something. And you don't, you know, you're not going to, you know, you want to break even as much as you can. And that's not always necessarily the truth. It never, you know, it doesn't always have to be that way. But the idea that people know now, you're out there. This is who we are.
Exactly.
This is what we can do. I can show you. You see my characters. You see my actors and actresses. They got their shit together. We can do this. So once
exactly.
you get it like that, now what would be awesome is if you travel with it.
We're actually, we want to do that. So I've told them as soon as we become a must-see in D.C., we will definitely hit the road. Putting
okay.
a DVD out will be great because it will help fund their travel expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm
mm-hmm.
mostly concerned about. We can definitely take the show to different states, but it's about the travel expenses for the whole cast and getting the set
yeah.
there. You know, it's a lot. So, and the promo in the different states and the auditions, because I'm always, every time I go to a different state, I am going to have local talent be in the play as well.
Exactly.
So I'm
going
to do casting
exactly.
calls in every local state to bring in extras or someone to play a part. So, yeah. We're definitely
mm-hmm.
working on that, though. That's something me and the director are definitely working on. We definitely want to travel, and we will.
Mm-hmm. So what about, do you find that being in this genre that it's very competitive?
I don't focus on it, to be honest.
Okay. Okay.
I'm too busy.
All
okay. I can worry about is what I'm doing. I, you know, I love my fans, my fan base. Is
mm-hmm.
always growing. I think it's room for
mm-hmm.
everyone. So I don't really focus
mm-hmm.
on it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, because I know sometimes people get discouraged when they can't get what they, you know, they thought they were going to get out of it, and they'll stop and like, well, why did you, you were doing so well. Well, there was too many people doing the same thing. And I fell in with the, you know, everybody kind of overcrowded the same area. But with the traveling, I think that would be awesome because just listening to you, I think you could do well anywhere. I mean,
yeah.
And like you said, once you get everything together and make everything work out, you know, you could do all the traveling. And that makes sense. It really doesn't make
anything
sense.
Anything can be done. I think I'm a go-getter. I don't believe in, you know, no, never. My God, this
mm-hmm.
always taught me no is the beginning of the negotiation, okay? Like, nothing stops me. I think you have
like
to go
that.
Get it. You have to go
uh-huh.
get it.
Yeah.
Like, especially, like, in the book market, I'm very sure that our books are oversaturated in the urban fiction or fiction thing. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can't focus on that. Like, I will go sign books in any state. I, you know, when my first book came out, I hit the pavement. I had to force people to take a chance on me. But that's how you build your audience. And now it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that there are like 1,000 other authors that write the books in the
mm-hmm.
same genre. I have my own fan base and it's continually
exactly.
growing. You just have to carve out a niche for yourself. So I will never stand back and be like, oh, it didn't do what I expected it to do. No, it's going to do exactly what I expected it to do because I'm going to make it happen.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's just a different way of thinking.
Yeah. And, you know, I think and I'm glad you said that because with me and my book, I did it, I've done it, I haven't touched them again. I have to finish a part two of one book, and someone was like, well, why don't you make a series out of this? And I guess I don't think I can, once I do it, it's done. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if it's hard for me to go back and add something or do another episode of something. That's hard for me to do. So I can't, I don't know. Once I wrote the books, once I did the book fairs and the book signings and stuff, I stopped and I went on like we do creative people, we go on to something else. You know,
mm-hmm.
we say that, okay, I did that, now I'm doing something else. But I do want to go back to my books because more and more I talk to people like you, I really want to get back into it. It's just so hard with everything else that I do. Writing a book takes time, and you have to have that time.
Right.
And right now, I got my hands in a lot of stuff, and I got to step back a little bit.
I definitely understand. It's hard, series are hard. It was really hard for me to push out this third book. I'm not going to lie. Only because I feel like series locked the author in to these characters. And to be honest,
yeah.
we can find them. We can start writing about them. And I know the readers love reading about them because they feel like they know them and they become part of their lives and all that other stuff. But as a writer, tired of these characters. Like, I don't want to talk about them no more. Like, I want to do something else.
Look, the eye goes in your mind. You do it. It's done. Let's move on to something different. But your fans is like, wait a minute. Hold up. Are you going to write a second?
And they keep you accountable. I definitely would have moved on a long time ago with a whole bunch of stuff. But because it's like every time I get discouraged with a book, I get an email from a fan saying how much they love my work or how much I've inspired them or motivated them. And that's what keeps me going. It's a good thing they send those because otherwise I'd be like, I don't know. But but because they do that, it helps me. It's like every time I'm struggling with something, I'll get something from a fan that says something like that, and then it'll motivate me to keep going because they love it so much, and I know they're waiting for it. And I don't want to let them down.
Exactly. Now, how many book signings have you done this year?
I do not know. I'm sorry. I don't know off the top of my head. I try to do as many as possible.
Wait a minute now, Missy. You gotta have the numbers right.
Yeah, you're right, but I don't count book signings. I'm more about sales.
Look, I'm
about to
tell you what I would say. The bottom line, all that other stuff don't matter. I need the bottom line.
Yeah, I don't keep track of the how many places I go. You know, I go wherever. I'm all about how many books am I selling. Like, where we at with that? I'm not sure off the top of my head. I just did two recently with the new book, though. I do know that. Next year, with the launch of my publishing company and the release of the third book of my first series, I am trying to. I'm going to travel every weekend for a year. So it's going to be really rough next year.
Okay, wait a minute.
Because
what
I am
going to.
Hmm.
You said. Wait a minute. So you said you're gonna travel every weekend for the whole year?
So
you're not planning on doing the play?
I'll say, you know, for the play, like I'll be here that one weekend maybe, but that's about it. So if it's not a play going on, I'm gonna be on the road.
Oh, girl.
Definitely. It's a sacrifice. You know, you gotta sacrifice. and only because you know
I said, all right.
I mean, you have to, the sacrifice is real, and because I'm really focusing on this right this second, this is what I want to do. And I have fans all over the country, and I haven't been able to visit them. Like I have a massive fan base on the West Coast, and I haven't been there yet.
Yeah.
So it's time for me to actually go out there so I can meet them and see them and. Yeah, so I'm trying to definitely hit as many places as I can. Like I said, I'm trying to travel, yeah, pretty much all the time next year. We're going all in for 2015, so.
Oh, and you've already got stuff set and put in place and everything, ready to roll.
Right, ready to go, so it is what it is.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and let you go in this lane. I really and truly thank you for your time, for the information you've given, and the conversation was great. So what I want you to tell us how we can get a hold of your books and how we can see your plays, even though we're not there. How do we get a chance to see your plays?
Awesome. Okay, you can definitely see all my books on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Google Books, iBooks, you know, wherever you can buy books, you'll find me.
Mm-hmm.
You can also go to my website, which is Mishea.com. Mishea is spelled M-Y-C-H-E-A. You can also go to my current publisher's website, goodtogopublishing.com. You can also, and then, and for plays, you can come to the D.C. area in March 14th and 15th. We will be putting My Boyfriend's Wife on stage. But after that, the DVD will be available by the summer. You can definitely check that out. And we hope to see you.
All right, then. Thank you very much. I have a friend that lives in that area, D.C. area, and I'm definitely going to let her know about you.
Well, thank you.
Old Army buddy.
That'll be good.
March, you said March 14th?
14th and 15th, yes.
14th and 15th, okay. I'm going to definitely let her know that then. Okay. I want to thank you so much for your time. I enjoyed this. I hope you enjoyed yourself. Please feel free.
I did. Thank you for having me.
I love this because I got so much information out of this that I shouldn't have been asking you, but it helped me out to see where I was going
okay.
My Now, you can also, you know, you can go back when we're done with this program and you can go back and listen to it. You know that, right?
Oh, cool.
All you have to do is, what I'll do is I'll send you the website, the link to this so that you can come back and listen to it anytime you want, okay?
Oh, perfect. Yay.
Look, I mean, I got to take care of you. I mean, I'm invited you on
your I appreciate it.
You know, I have to do something right, huh? So I'm going to send you the link so that you can listen to it yourself. And I'm going to go ahead and let you go. I want to thank you very much again, ma'am. You have a great evening. Have a great weekend because we have a weekend coming up. You going to do anything for Halloween?
No, I don't think so. My cast is rehearsing this weekend, so you know what? We're all focused on them. Their very first rehearsal. We're going all in with it.
What you could do is bring them in some candy for trick-or-treat.
That I may do. I do lose little okay. stuff like that or cupcakes or something like that. They get all type of treats all the time.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. Okay, I want to thank you again, Ms. Michelle. You have a great evening. And listening audience, you guys got the information. You guys can check her out on Amazon, all her books. You can check her plays out if you're in the Washington, D.C. area. I want to say again, thank you again, ma'am. And you have a great evening and good night.
Thank you. You too. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You guys, that was a great show with Ms. Miche. I learned a lot. She's an author and playwright out of Washington, D.C. This Women in Motion, I love it. We're down two. We got plenty more to go because I want to try to do this for November also. So look forward to listening to more Women in Motion. I've already talked to a couple of women who's very much interested and want to tell their story about their entrepreneurship and the things that they're doing. I think this is awesome. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And like I said, if you want to go back and listen to this, you know what my show is, Say Your Piece Radio Network. You can go back on Blog Talk Radio and listen to it again. I want to say again, thank you guys, and have a great night.